We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
12:32, Jordana Green, filling in for Chad Hartman. Jason DeRussia stood me up. I'm like a Tinder date, waiting with my mask on at an outdoor coffee shop. He says he's going to come. He makes plans. He even confirms with your producer. I don't know how many Tinder dates have a producer. Dan Cook is very efficient. And he stands us up. He will not hear the end of this, ever. Oh, he's on a bike ride with his wife and children, trying to have some family time? He knows how much he gets paid for the show, which is nothing. But still, here I am, coffee in hand, waitresses socially distanced, feeling bad for me, waiting to talk to Jason about distance learning and this story going on over at NPR. Oh, it's so sad. Imagine, it's so sad. Dan, he's not going to live it down.
Well, I mean, not from our end. He may not care, but no. But not from our end.
I guarantee he doesn't care. He probably doesn't even have his earphones in. He's probably just, you know, he's just on his bike ride. Again, family time getting in the way of the Chad Hartman show. I'll make sure to report this.
Which is fine.
I'm kidding. I just love talking to Jason. So it's fun to chat with him. Well, if he buzzes in, Dan, you bust in with him. I was, of course, going to ask him about distance learning and how it's going. For his family. I don't know what his kids' situation is, but my kids go to public school here in the Twin Cities. I have a high school senior who's currently applying to colleges. And yeah, that's a whole lot of fun. For all you parents who have done that, wow, is that a lot of work? I know I remember it being a lot of work when we were doing it all those years ago, but it's definitely a lot of work now. So I spend many nights with her proofing essays and, you know, editing and grammar and all that stuff. But that's an interesting process. Her fourth SAT in a row has been canceled. She preferred the SAT to the ACT, and you could take either one. And it's been canceled because they can't get it together to administer the test. So she's kind of freaking out about that. So she's a senior. And then I have a ninth grader and an eighth grader. And they are 100% distant learning. Hey, Dan, did your brother go back to school? I know he's a coach and a teacher. Did he go back at all in Maple Grove?
Yes. I think Osseo School District is doing kind of a hybrid model. He's back and then doing online or distance education in addition to some in class. I don't know the exact specifics of when he's seeing students and when he's not. But yeah, I'm pretty sure he's back in the building.
So mine are not at all. Mine, at least because they're upper grades. I believe in their district, in our district, the younger grades got to go back for a few days because the younger kids really need that socialization. Because mine are middle school and high school, they are 100% distance learning. And that's just my district. Other districts are totally different. And I feel very lucky because they are able to learn online. I know that many families are struggling or suffering. Kids aren't paying attention or maybe they're not logging in, but I feel like I'm suffering less. So I have a lot of empathy for the people that are having a harder time with it. And I also have a lot of empathy for the teachers. I'll tell you, my little one even said, she goes, I feel so bad for these teachers. She knows people are goofing off or not paying attention, or she said, it's just really hard for the teachers to be effective at their jobs in certain aspects. Some are great and it's smooth sailing, but others are struggling more. So I always say my kids, you got to give the teachers a lot of grace. Don't get annoyed with them. Don't tune them out. You just got to give them a lot of grace and do the best you can.
And it's so much about teaching styles too, right? Like I know a science teacher who's very much an experiential teacher. I mean, teaches through experiments, through doing stuff. Well, if the kids are all at home, they may or may not have materials with which, you know, even if you think of trying to come up with experiences or experiments that are easy to do at home, there's no guarantee, especially in districts without, you know, that are on the poorer side of the economic spectrum, there's no guarantee the kids are going to have the stuff at home, and you can't necessarily require the parents to go out and get all of this stuff to do this, right? So it's just really hard. I mean, you
it's
know,
really hard.
Depending on the style of the teacher and the subject matter, and yeah, and then obviously it's the matter of when they're in the classroom, you can grab them by the ear and say, hey, wait a minute, pay attention. Not literally grab by the ear, but you know what I mean. But when you're on Zoom, that becomes another level of complication.
I was getting a, on my show last week, there was a teacher who I wanted to have on. And she said to me, she said, you know, Jordana, I would come on with you, but we just got a note from our district that we have a meeting at 3 o'clock. So my normal show, I'm normally on from 3 to 6. She said, I can't join you. But she then proceeded to text me her thoughts about distance learning, because she is in a district here locally and I'm keeping her anonymous. And she says, these are my thoughts as a teacher about distance learning. Here, I'm going to read you the text that she sent me. She said, I was just notified about a meeting at 3 to discuss a shift. Well, Jordana, it's more like a seismic pivot, a 180-degree change. She says, teachers are in a situation that makes us look like idiots, and we aren't. We don't have appropriate curriculum, and now we're being told to shift from 3 hours a week of synchronous time, to 15 hours. There's no time to prepare, no professional development, and we're scrambling to get things done, even though we're working 12 to 14 hour days. My suggestion to leaders, this is from the teacher, is stop. Let's establish a solid plan and stop building the plane as we fly. She says, please also share with listeners that teachers really appreciate parent support. She says, I just can't believe this shift they just announced. After we spent all week establishing processes, now everything we taught our kids is changing. It's like telling a dentist that next week he'll need to do root canals differently, but won't have supplies or training till Sunday night.
Yeah, that's not going to work. You're not going to have a root canal like that. No, that'd be bad.
You're the worst.
That'd be really bad.
So she was not having a good experience after her first week distance learning. But again, she asks for grace and for support.
Not to interrupt you, Jordana, but guess who's here? Yeah. We have finally made a connection with one Jason DeRush. And he reminded me off the air of a solid fact in his defense, which is that he's so used to our normal pacing on the Chad Hartman show, where we're generally about 3-4 minutes late at least. That he didn't expect us to actually be on time, but he's here with us now.
Jordana, I'm not used to a host like hitting the times they're supposed to. It's really, it messed me up today.
Oh, you're so funny. Are you on a bike ride?
I am. We're in St. Paul right now. I've had a rather eventful bike ride leaving from downtown Minneapolis, following the Mississippi River, and then crossing over at the Ford Bridge and then into St. Paul. We're almost to downtown. But I had a flat tire, and my friend John Ryerson, who's riding with me, happened today, for the first time in his biking career, to put a spare tube in his little utility bag, and he changed my tire right on the
kismet
along the river road.
Wow. Good to have a friend like that, Jason, because clearly you're useless.
No, 100% I'm useless. I've got nothing on my bike, I'll tell you that much.
Totally. Me too. Hey, I wanted to start the conversation. I'm glad you're enjoying your time out. I really am. It's a beautiful day. How are the kids with the learning? Are they online? Are they hybrid? What's going on?
Yeah, their school district is doing 2 weeks of distance learning and then starting in on hybrid. So they actually just started on Monday. So that was their first day, period. So they're doing fine. I feel very lucky that I have an eighth grader and a high school sophomore, because they can pretty much direct themselves. My heart goes out to anybody with an elementary age kid. Woof.
Yeah.
That is tough.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Yeah, I feel lucky that mine can learn on their own and they don't need me babysitting them. So, all right.
And everyone's in the same spot. I know I heard you talking about the teacher and some of the frustrations. You know, I think it's hard because we all want the best for our kids, and the teachers want to do their best at their job. But it's just a weird situation. Like, you know, if my kids learn anything and don't lose ground, I feel like that'll be a win, you know?
Totally.
It's a weird deal.
I agree.
It's like, lighten up. Your kid's still not going to Harvard. Like, chill out. It's going to be fine.
That's what I keep telling people. I said, you know, this is just a moment. This is like maybe half a school year, maybe even it's a whole school year. Like, this happens. It's just a moment. It's not like your kids are going to all of a sudden be idiots
and lose everything. It's hard. I mean, if you're a parent, all the exceptions, right? The special needs parents, the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Oof, I mean, that is super tough. But for the average kid, or the above average, or the slightly below average kid, it's going to be fine. It's all going to be fine.
And it's going to be an experience. They'll write about it for their college essay.
Yes. Will be fine. Like, just take it easy, you know?
Yes, that's right. And they will have an experience to share with their children when things get hard. It'll build resilience. I feel the exact same way. Hey, briefly, I wanted to talk with you about this story that's going on over at NPR. Have you heard this about, obviously about Eric Malmberg? They have now fired him from The Current. This happened late Tuesday. And this is, of course, a day after another NPR reporter who investigated sexual harassment allegations on the air. So do you have any insight into this story of Marianne Combs? You know, she publicly reported this story and then she resigned because of NPR's decision to hold the story. Well, and then they went and fired Eric.
Well, she didn't name him and she didn't share any of the details of what she learned in her reporting, only that eight women had shared their story with her and she was investigating. You know, we don't know. NPR basically said that the allegations didn't rise to the level of a crime, which sort of is irrelevant as to whether or not it's a news story, right? I'll say this. Like, these stories are the hardest stories to report because often and understandably, victims do not want to name their name or show their face or go public. And for a news organization, it's very difficult to decide, are you going to unleash this entire story without having at least one person put their name to it? So I understand the journalistic side of it. For me, the curious side, and I understand the frustration of people who are disappointed with the decision by the radio station, is that, you know, as an on-air person, you are held to essentially whatever morals clause they want to hold you to. You don't have to commit a crime. If you seem like a sleazebag, they can get rid of you. I will say from the journalistic side, it's a little tricky, right? So if I were accused of being a sleaze, maybe it wasn't to the level of like where you'd be able to file a lawsuit or involve the police, but say it was just slimy behavior from me. For sure, that's a news story, right? Like, I'm the morning news anchor at the TV station. Now, if you're a general assignment reporter for, you know, the Cable 12, is that a news story? I don't know. So, like, if you're a DJ who, like, honestly, I had never even heard of, is that a news story if you're accused of being a sleaze? I don't know. Like, I just think those are some of the questions as you think about this in a nuanced way of saying, like, these are things a newsroom argues about. You know, for a reporter, she has my ultimate respect. You say, if you believed in a story that your organization wouldn't run, to sacrifice your career for it is amazing to me. Like, I'm blown away with admiration for that. And what a statement she made to the women who confided in her, right?
Mm-hmm. But also, I think we're in a different era now.
Yeah.
Aren't we in a different era now of how could NPR not know better? That even being a sleazebag, even a little bit of impropriety, there were multiple allegations against him. How do you hold on to this story? How do you not do a very quick and expeditious investigation?
I think you have two things going on. As an employer, to me, like, I don't understand why they didn't fire someone with these sort of allegations a long time ago. It's kind of a no-brainer. You get rid of that person. Whether it's a news story or not, I don't know, Jordana. Like, if Dan Cook is accused of that sort of allegation.
Which I haven't been. Let me just point that out. Thank you.
But is that newsworthy for the entire community? I don't know. Like, I don't know if that rises to the level. If it's one of the regular hosts, yes. Like, I think this is, you know, if you're a vice president at U.S. Bank, is it a story? Probably not. There's a million vice presidents. If you're one of the top three managers, is it a story? Yes. Like, these are tough decisions as to whether it's newsworthy or not. I think those are tough decisions. Just because you're a DJ at the Current, that I don't. It's I don't know. Is it newsworthy or not? I don't know. Is all I'm saying.
I guess if you're a public figure and if you're a DJ at the Current, that makes you a public figure. But also the handling of it. You know, she was mad about NPR's decision to hold off on the story alleging sexual misconduct. I mean, they just made it worse.
Oh, no doubt.
And they made it a news story. Yeah, that's why we're talking about it, because they made it a news story.
So. But, you know, do you want news organizations to publish every allegation about every kind of low-level?
Right.
Basically, where someone's not a public figure until you do the story. Have you ever heard of this guy?
No, I never heard of him. But I guess people who listen to The Current do.
I don't know. I listen. Like, I never heard of the guy. I'm just saying, like, it's not one of the marquee names. That's all.
Yeah. That's so fair. I also, just to push back on that a little bit, any time that sexual impropriety or sexual accusations in the workplace, any time that is, you know, a story, I think that needs to be shown a light on, because the more we can weed that out of places of employment, the better.
Well, I don't know if he was accused of doing it in the workplace, though. I think that's another factor to this. So I think it was allegations about him in and around his world. But I don't know that. I don't know if it relates. We don't know. We don't know what the details are, right?
I do think,
like, you know, if legally you're on solid ground, it's a lot easier to run the story than not. You know what I mean? Because how much grief are you going to get from the general public of, oh, I don't know if it was fair to this guy?
Exactly.
Probably none. Like so the easier thing to do is to run the story, I would think. Especially in this climate, no one's going to blast you for, like, oh, that wasn't fair. That guy was a low level. No one's going to blast you for that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, you go get back to your bike ride. Thank you for taking the time. And remember, you know, I'm running a ship here. I'm running a tight ship here. So next time I fill in, you know, I'm calling
you. Well, you can dock me the usual pay I get for making these appearances. I'll give you 100% of what I get.
Go and enjoy your bike ride and have a great day. Thanks, Jason.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.